What does it mean to rest in God? That's an interesting thought. One of the things that I do is I chair the committee that looks after religious education in all the schools in Somerset, and I have an RE advisor. We get on really well. And we had got booked for him to phone me one day, and I didn't get the phone call. And I was really surprised. And when I tried to phone him back, couldn't get in touch. A few days later, he got in touch with me. He said, sorry we didn't get that phone call the other day. He said, I had this really bad migraine. And I just couldn't do a thing. He said, I've been working non-stop for a whole month. I haven't had a single day off. He's self-employed. And I got this migraine. And I said, listen, Andy, if you were one of my trainee counties evangelists that I mentor, I'd be ticking you off right now and telling you that is no way to look after yourself. Or for that matter, your family. Is it? To work without a break for a solid month? Is that good for anybody? Is that good for you? Is that good for me? And I am mentoring two counties evangelists right now, two new trainee evangelists. And I found a universal with counties evangelists. There's quite a lot of them, you know, across the country. There's a universal. They all do far too much. I'm absolutely serious. And the number of trainees I've had to tick off because they're not taking a day off in a week. Yeah? I mean, you think about it. They're doing stuff Monday to Friday. They're preaching on Sunday. They've probably got some event on Saturday. Somebody wants a, you know. Yeah? And I go, if you're going to work on a Sunday, what day are you going to take off? What day are you going to take off? Because you'll make yourself ill. It isn't right. But more than that, it isn't biblical. What does the Bible say? Let's read a little bit from the Ten Commandments. I don't think we read enough from that book. Out loud together, shall we? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven, above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The number of teachers who conversationally say, oh God, you know? And I stop them and I say, do you know that there is a commandment about that? That's what it's talking about. It's talking about not misusing God's name. Don't use God's name as a swear word. We'll carry on. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We'll stop there. We will stop there. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. When I was a teacher, and I was a religious education teacher, which was a few years ago now, I went to a training weekend. And it was run by a bunch of Jews. And we were learning about what Jews do over Shabbat, over the Sabbath. And if you don't know, Shabbat starts at dusk on Friday night and ends at dusk on Saturday night, right? And it's a day of rest. Why is it a day of rest? Well, you've just read it, okay? So, what does a day of rest look like for a Jew today? And I have to say that these good people had to break all kinds of commandments just to put on the training day for us guys, because it was Shabbat, but they wanted us to get a feel, not just talking about, but to get a real feel of what it is like for a Jew to celebrate Shabbat. And it was a really good weekend, and we did all kinds of stuff. We ate Jewish kosher food, and they explained what happens over Shabbat. Can I tell you what happens over Shabbat? It's great. Jews not supposed to do any work, right? So ladies, housework? No housework. Yeah? You can go for a walk, but you can't go too far because it's meant to be a day of rest. In fact, for an Orthodox Jew, and not every Jew will do this, for an Orthodox Jew, operating any kind of machinery is work. You can't even flip a light switch. Not all Jews are that strict, but you know, and so what this guy was telling me he did is he says, we got this water thing and we put it on, so we got boiling water on the go, all over Shabbat. So anytime I want a tea or coffee, I just go, shh. And then, and here's the interesting thing, what does meal look like? So you go to synagogue to worship, yeah? And you get back from synagogue, and what's the equivalent of Sunday lunch look like for a Jew? Now that's interesting, because you're not supposed to do any work, ladies, right? So here's what the ladies do. They will do a kind of a hot pot thing the day before. So on Friday, you'll put all the veg and the meat and everything into the hot pot and you'll put it on the slow cooker. Yeah? So you, on the Sunday, on the Shabbat, sorry, the Saturday, you're not running around like a headless chicken. You just get home from synagogue, all nice and chilled, and there it is. All you got is dish it up, sit, eat it, enjoy it, and relax. Are you getting the feel of this? And when does a Jew do Sunday school? Because they do Sunday school, yeah? Because they want to teach their children what the scriptures say, and they want to teach their children Hebrew so they can read it for themselves. Okay? They do it on Sunday. Jews have Sunday school. Because they would not dream of doing such a thing on a day that's set aside for rest. And here I am, an evangelical Christian, listening to these Jews who, you know, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute. These guys are more biblical than you and me as evangelical Christians, right? Right? Come on. They are more biblical than you and me. Because what does our Sunday look like? Yeah? Doesn't it? It looks like this. Sunday lunch is ridiculous, isn't it? I preacher goes home back, you know, when I was somewhere preaching and somebody gives me lunch, and it's, you know, all the trimmings and the housewife is running around going berserk while the blokes are, you know, and it's ridiculous, isn't it? And Sunday school teaching is hard work, isn't it? It's good, it's rewarding, but it's hard work. And I came home from that weekend and I had a good conversation with my wife and I said, we got it all wrong, haven't we? Haven't we? And I'd just like to float that there for you to think about. And if this is the word of God, I'd like you to think on it deeply. Okay? Would you do that? Because when I get home today, It will not be to a roast chicken or something with all the trimmings. It will be a simple meal. It sounds like a plan, doesn't it? Do you know what Jews do on a Saturday afternoon? That it's a family day. So they will relax with the family. There'll be no telly. They'll talk to each other. They'll play board games. They might go for a little walk. Doesn't that sound good? Sound good? Sounded jolly good. I wonder, in this crazy world in which we live, what God would say to us this morning with our pace of life. I tell you a little secret that I learned a few years ago as an evangelist. Evangelists are driven people, and they're busy, busy, busy. But I discovered something. It is possible in life to do less and achieve more. It is certainly possible as a Christian to do less and achieve more for the kingdom of God. It's about being focused. It's about discerning God's will. It's about learning to listen to God. And I think this song that we have just sung says something really profound. You want to see the power of the Lord moving in this place? Then learn to be still and listen to Him and be focused on what He would have you do. What stops us doing the will of God? It's by all the things we do that He really doesn't want us to do. Have you ever thought of that? Because those other things get in the way. Yes, it is possible to do less and achieve more. We need to have a break to rest. Do you know, there was Jesus. Ever had a preacher come? You know, preacher for Sunday lunch. I've been that preacher a few times. And preacher's sitting there, and somebody's chatting with them, and somebody else has been very busy in the kitchen. And Jesus had come to Mary and Martha's home. And there He was sitting, talking, and Mary was hanging on His every word. Come on. If Jesus came to your house, wouldn't you want to just sit and listen? Wouldn't you? But Martha wasn't doing any sitting and listening, because she was thinking, I've got to give Jesus a real spread. I've got to, you know. And she was so busy cooking in the kitchen, and this was burning and that was going wrong. And in the end, she blows her stack. Her sister ought to be in that kitchen helping her. And instead, she's just sitting and listening to Jesus in the lounge. And Martha comes bursting out the kitchen and bursting into where Jesus is. And she says, Jesus, it's not fair. I'm doing all the work in the kitchen and she's just sitting on her backside listening to you. Will you tell Mary to come and help me in the kitchen? Come on, dinner's burning. And Jesus says to Martha, 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 you're worried and you're anxious and you're upset about many things. Is that you this morning? You're worried, you're anxious, and you're upset about many things, but only one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen it. That is not gonna be taken away from her. The truth is, Jesus would have been quite happy with a couple of sandwiches, because there was something more important that He wanted to do in that home that day. Mary had chosen it. Martha couldn't see the wood for the trees. There's a wonderful bit of teaching guidance with the new national curriculum, and it is this: slow down, do less, go deeper. Mary understood that. Martha didn't. So, Jesus woke up really early in the morning. And the disciples were sleeping everywhere because they were staying in somebody else's home. And in the darkness, Jesus picked his way over the sleeping bodies so as not to wake them, slipped out the door, and went out to a quiet place in the countryside. And there at the break of day, Jesus prayed because he needed time alone with his heavenly Father. And if he did, don't you? And when the disciples woke up, they couldn't find him anywhere, and they searched and searched, and when eventually they did find him, they said, "What are you doing? Everybody's looking for you. There's a crowd of people waiting to see you. There's a diary full of stuff. What are you doing? What are you doing?" And Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else. To the nearby villages. So that I can preach there also. That is why I have come. I wonder if you're feeling too busy to pray. I wonder if your diary is so full of stuff. There are so many important things for you to do right now. What did Jesus do? He found time to refocus and to reprioritize. And that full diary that the world had got planned for him, he wanted nothing to do with it, did he? What is there for you and me? We need to have a break to pray. I want to show you a picture of my favourite place. It's a beach in Cornwall called Chapel Porth. And I want to listen to a little bit of music as we do and reflect on some scripture as we come to the end of our time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, and he guides me in paths of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and staff, they comfort me. You notice something? I wonder if this happens for you when you go on holiday and you're relaxing and you're unwinding. You may be on the beach or going for a walk or in a beautiful place. Yeah? Families with young children may find this a distant prospect. And you're starting to unwind, and then God starts speaking to you. Have you noticed how many times that happens? Or is it just me? And very often, when I'm on holiday, is the time that God refocuses my ministry and my thoughts. How can it be possible to do less and achieve more? I would suggest we probably all need to take a few more holidays. And then we might find out the answer to that question. I'm absolutely serious. You think I'm joking? I am really not. Let's finish our time together with one last song about God's faithfulness to us. God is faithful. He never lets us down.